I'm on a mission to help high flyers just like yourself, who until now have let the fear of public speaking hold them back from making a bigger impact. Join me as I find out the secret sauce from the world's leading speakers to make your speeches more interesting, enjoyable to give, and impactful for your audience. That's the mission, and this podcast will get you there. My name's Victor Ahipeni, and this is the Public Speaking Secrets Podcast. Speaker Nation, what's happening? Welcome to another episode of Public Speaking Secrets. Super stoked to have you listening and tuning in. Today I've got Isaac John, aka Ice, who is a founder of a clothing company, and I want to talk to you. His clothing company is called YKTR. Check it out. It's You Know the Rules. And he's also done a lot for getting his company off the ground, which I want to delve into, and some insights that he's gained and a bit of the behind the scenes in that aspect, because I know a lot of you know, I've watched what he's been doing, and I know this works just not for clothing companies, and it can work for you out there. So we'll get another aspect of that public speaking, which is the digital side. So with all that being said, welcome to the show, my man.
Thanks, bro. Thanks for having me on.
So give us a quick background of you. How did you get to kind of be doing the clothing side of things? And then we'll delve into kind of the aspects that you've used to, I guess, leverage social media to grow it.
Short or long version?
Go the medium.
medium. I grew up in a small town, had ambitions to play sort of rugby league, play in the NRL, and sort of was able to do that through my NRL career. Very average player. Had a lot of injuries and stuff like that. So through injuries, I actually started reading up books and had outside interest. And from there, sort of dived into business. Once I finished football, kind of just wanted to really pursue business. And YKTR was one of those things, and been lucky enough so far for it to succeed.
Cool. And I mean, I guess part of that, and I know I see with the questions that people ask on your Instagram, people are like, oh, you know, how do you do it if you're not an ex-NRL player and this and that? And I'm like, I mean, I've physioed for like the Magpies, and I know quite a lot of like sports, like All Blacks and whatnot. And I mean, you know, outside of them getting sponsorships from external companies, they wouldn't know how to leverage any of that anyway. So it's like, yeah, I feel like it may be a little bit of a fire onto the flame, but it's like if you don't have the kindling or the wood or whatever, it's just going to die out anyway. So, you know, how did you initially leverage that? Like, did it help for your initial growth, or was it the kind of the stuff that you threw out and tried that you felt kind of grew the brand?
Obviously I understand, like, it's just where I've come from. I can't really change career or my previous past. So it's kind of a weird scenario, because a lot of people think that they're like, oh, because you're friends with Chico and Corey, that's what made your brand grow. But obviously anyone that's sort of been in business understands that's probably not the case, or anyone that actually knows those two boys will probably go, that's not the case as well. So to say it didn't help would be fucking ignorant of me, I'd never say that. But to say that's the only reason we've succeeded, I wouldn't say that as well. So I understand why people say it, and it does make sense. If I didn't know anything about business or didn't understand my journey, and I just saw me personally, just friends of, you know, all these NRL players, and think business succeeded from that, I understand that narrative 100% as well. But it used to frustrate me a little bit, but not too much anymore. It just is what it is. Like, people don't know me. People don't know the work that's gone behind the scenes. People don't know that almost ended up broke trying to pursue this dream as well. So people just see what they want to see, and we're guilty of headline reading here in Australia and New Zealand, and it's just the same thing. They only see the result. They don't sort of see everything else has gone behind it. So I do understand it, and it is what it is.
So speak on that. Like, they don't see the behind the scenes side of things. When you were, I know you've tried other businesses prior to this, and then, you know, there's obviously the trials and tribulations that come with, you know, particularly the clothing industry. What were the things that when you were first starting out, that like the mud that you're throwing on the wall, was there any, like, and seeing what sticks, was there any systematic, like, I'm going to look at how I can leverage Facebook or Instagram or YouTube or podcasting to help grow my brand? Or like, how did you have any plan or process to that? Because I've obviously seen that's a fairly decent aspect of, you know, what your business is the content that you put out to get exposure.
To be honest, I just sort of went into it blind, took a few online courses about Facebook advertising and that, and like those did kind of help me out. But I seen Naval Ravikant sort of talk about the best thing I learned from someone asked her, what's the best business books? Oh, what business books should I read? And he goes, oh, just if you rely on business books, give them to your competitors because it's going to help you succeed. And a lot of the education that I've learned from business is actually from being in it. But the sort of turning point for us was probably about 4 or 5 months in. Obviously, I ran into a guy called Gary Vee. If you follow my content, I preach him. And everything he's sort of done or everything he was preaching at the time, I just started to implement them and seen a little bit of success. Probably the first time was vlogging. And we started to vlog and seen our sales sort of drive up, and then obviously learned how to edit and stuff like that, and just build brand based off his philosophies of humanizing it. When people see YKTR, they usually know our story and usually know who I am as well. And off the back of that, then that sort of moved into blogging, which is writing articles and documenting the journey, moved into podcasting, and that sort of unintentionally personally branded myself. So that was just the method that he taught, and that's the one I followed. So, and it's just worked for us.
And from like, not necessarily the dollar figures or anything, but from a percentage of breakdown of sales, how much would you attribute to say vlogging, blogging, podcasting, like not each one, but as in compared to say your paid marketing or, you know, SEO or anything like that?
I don't know, because if you look at the way we use vlogs is purely top of funnel. So if you understand the funneling system, like we don't try and monetize off it. Sometimes when we put paid ads behind it, I'll test it. But like 80% of our Facebook ad spend goes to the top of funnel at the moment, where all the rest is bottom of the funnel, which is automated through dynamic product ads and retargeting and stuff like that, which is almost automated. Your bottom of the funnel shouldn't change. So we use vlogging not so much for sales, but purely for branding. So I don't think people understand the difference between branding and sales, but branding sort of long-term, branding sort of the difference between people buying a handbag for fucking $2,000 versus $100, you know what I mean? So vlogging is about building brand. It's not so much for sales, but just ends up working, turning into sales eventually. So it's kind of playing the long game and long tail of it.
And I mean, I think that's what you've done really well is like, I choose whose stories I watch. Not to be necessarily a consumer of like, oh, what's Ice got to say today? Because a lot of the stuff is great, but it's, you've got a certain clientele that are asking you these questions that are, maybe at their entry level wanting to get started or find out about certain things. It's more it's just understanding different markets and how people are communicating to them. If we were to say start with your vlogging, what have you found if people are going out there and looking to leverage their brand with vlogging, what are some of your tips on, anything for them to get started in that realm?
Make sure you're just being real. Make sure you're not trying to fabricate anything. I think a lot of my what I've been able to garner such a loyal following with the brand and myself is I've been transparent the whole way. We're going into pretty testing times coming forward for this coronavirus. I've got friends going out of business, got people within that building going out of business already, and it's only been like a couple of weeks, you know what I mean? So I think even when I was struggling, I was sort of saying like, oh fuck, like we're not going that well here, or whenever I made mistakes, I was the first to put my hand up and document the journey. So I think the trap about social media is everyone tries to put their best version of themselves out there, which is understandable. So if you were to take 20 photos of yourself, which one would you put up? You'd obviously put up the best one, wouldn't you? So I feel like people's vlog style becomes like that. They just want to put out this real super polished version, like everything's good all the time, where if you look at my Instagram now, like I used to only want to put very good photos up, but if you look at it now, it's just screenshots of Twitter and stuff like that. So I feel like real is super, being real is super important, and it's just quicker. I could put out a vlog in a day because I'm just being myself. I'm not trying to fabricate anything that I wouldn't do. I'm not trying to live this life that I don't live. Like at the moment, I'm just collecting like sports cards and shit. And I'm just documenting stuff like that as well. So yeah, I feel like it's hard for a lot of people because a lot of people are insecure about who they are, especially our public opinion. So I've been able to build these walls up through just being myself. Like I get paid out through DMs and stuff all the time saying, oh, like you're fake and all this sort of stuff like that, which just comes with the territory as well. So if you want to start vlogging, just make sure you're being yourself because you can't get caught.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's interesting. I just finished Russell Brunson's latest book, his Traffic Secrets one, and he was talking about, it's funny, like a lot of the people that I deliberately follow, he talks about this, like, I think it's five Fs or something, and when putting out content, and it's like having five different kind of topic streams. So like, for example, basketball cards, league podcasts, clothing, whatever, so that, you know, yes, you're not just continually pitching the same thing or putting out the same content, but then later on down the track, you can, potentially branch off into other aspects. Like, I know, having watched your stuff, and I'd love to hear your side of it. Was it deliberate? Like, I see you're recording some courses and stuff now, and you've highlighted to a lot of people who may be, in jobs. Oh, hey, look, yeah, there's different opportunities that you can have with business. And then that's kind of just, has that organically led to, hey, I might put something together that can help people? Or was that kind of, was that part of a plan?
Not really a plan. It just sort of come off the back of sort of answering all the same questions all the time. And sort of just trying to speed that up. The reason I started writing blogs is everyone's going, oh, what equipment do you use? Or how do you start a clothing company? Or how do you podcast? So the reason I wrote those blogs in the initial phase was just to speed the process up of replying to people and not just giving them short answers, actually trying to give them some value. So that ended up saving me time. And the online course, I sort of talk about trying to build multiple streams of income, and I feel like building a personal brand is probably the best thing you can do right now. You look at a lot of the biggest people in the world, like Kanye West, for example, love him or hate him, like his brand, like his, he's worth like $1 billion right now. You know what I mean? Like Kim Kardashian, that's a personal brand. Even Donald Trump being able to be the president is because he is a personal brand. So I feel like that's the way that it's moving forward. And like, say, these coming months and YKTR fails, I think I've built up enough of a personal brand that I could potentially pivot in a different direction, whether that be with myself or potentially someone hire me. It's been super important. So what was the original question?
No, that was pretty much it. It was like, how did you go towards the online coaching, or like, those different types of content that you've just.
I'll tell you why I did it, because everyone was going, oh, can I come pick your brain for 2 hours and I'll buy you a coffee. I seen someone else do it, and that on their website they've priced their coffee at $500. So like, if you want to pick my brain, it's going to cost $500 and we can do it on Skype. I'll get my own coffee. So I heard someone say price your time at a point where you can't say no to. So I started doing consulting and priced myself at $500 an hour. And I just done it because I didn't want to do it, but then people were starting to pay it. So I was like, oh, fuck. And a lot of the conversations were only going for like 20, 40 minutes. So I was like, yeah, fuck it, let's go.
Yeah. And it's funny, man, because I think I heard Tim Ferriss or something. He got in that kind of conundrum with Friends when he was first kicking off. And I think he said, like, all right, cool. It's free. You just got to give me $1,000. And if you don't take action on the advice I give you, I keep your $1,000. If you haven't done everything I said in 2 weeks, if you've done everything in 2 weeks, I give you $1,000 back. And it was like, because there's always the mate that you're like, oh man, like, I'd love to give you the time, but I know that all of you aren't going to read that book that I told you to read, or post that blog or start that podcast or whatever. And so I found that an interesting one, because then it says, oh, you really want to pick my brain? Cool. Put $1,000 deposit down and then let's see what's up. So
I think a lot of people just get obsessed with knowledge as well, and I was guilty of that. Like, there was a time in my life where I read about 100 books, and I was just like, I say this all the time, you know, when you have a beer and there's those bunch of useless facts underneath the cap, and you're sort of just like, I was that guy. Like, I could tell you a fucking bunch load of shit that didn't mean nothing, you know what I mean? And I was just a bit of a know-it-all. And I used to go to coffees with the boys, and the boys would just go, shut the fuck up. So, it got to that point where I just go, fuck, I'm just full of shit. I'm just like a bunch of useless knowledge, and I just wanted to apply it somewhere. But it's been a great foundation, obviously, reading, because I've got a photographic memory. Like, if you ask me something right now, I couldn't remember it like off the cuff. But when I'm in a conversation, I can relate examples back to books, like, off the top of my brain like that. So it's kind of a weird, like, I say I've got a photographic memory, but if you say something, I'd remember that part of chapter 3 of this book, I can't remember. But then if you're like, if I'm in a scenario, I go, oh, there's like this time when ABC. So it's sort of been great in that sort of sense.
Run us through, and this is the thing that I'm interested in and been watching of your journey, is your YKTR Media. So how did that kind of come about, and where do you see it in the future? Because I think this is a huge part of, like, stepping away from you being the personal brand for part of your company. I don't know, like, that's just the way kind of, I see it something bigger than you.
Yeah. Just from a pain point, to be honest, I just kind of got over modern day journalism. Just
So what is it for listeners out there?
We've actually changed. It's the YKTR Sports, but it's actually in a pretty dodgy place right now because there's no fucking sports going on. So what YKTR Sports is just trying to build an alternative that connects players to fans and fans to players. And I just sort of saw rugby league media, besides the Matty John show, which is kind of fun. It was just actually really funny. Everything else besides that, it was just old school players just bagging with the younger generation, like, oh, back in my day. And then you open up newspapers, and it's just negative, negative, negative all the time. And none of the sources actually ever come from the player. So that was sort of the pain point from it. We've got massive ideas from it, but it's just an execution point. Obviously, media costs money, and if we were to film shows and stuff like that. But the basis of it was we essentially flipped Corey Norman's narrative around where he was nominated for a Kim Stephen medal last year, which is like spending your time with the community and stuff like that, where 2-3 years ago he's perceived to be like this bad boy and he's just a regular bloke, and I've seen his name get dragged through the mud. But through YKTR and vlogging, I've really flipped the narrative, and people that meet him, they're like, oh, he wasn't like the person I thought he was. And probably the best example I've had that, probably Quay Cooper.
That was an awesome interview, man.
Yeah, so like, oh, because I've known Quay since I was 3 or 4, and I just, the way he's portrayed in media was never the way like I knew him as a friend, and talking to him behind the scenes and stuff, it was very, very different. So that was probably the moment where we're like, fuck, like we've got something here. But in saying that, like everything sort of pulled back as well, like, you know what I mean, like Fox Sports are in trouble, the whole rugby league's in trouble. So really wanted to build like an American style media format where not just talking to footy players about footy, but talking to them about, say, sports cards, for example, or where does Jason Tomalolo eat on a Wednesday? Like, what's his cheat meal? Like, I feel that stuff's starting to get a lot more important than the actual 80 minutes of the game. You're always going to get people that stat nerds and love all the stats, and that type of platform is good for, like, someone like Denon Kemp, where very big on stats and, like, oh, he made 80 meters, post-contact meters today. Like, for me, I don't really care about that stuff. What's Cameron Munster doing on Tuesday night? Like, what's he watching?
Yeah.
Like, that stuff seems more interesting to me. So that's what we wanted to build the narrative around. But also, I've done a podcast with Mark Boris one time in his office. And after the podcast, he sort of goes, all you want to do is run a clothing company. And he sort of at the time, I thought it was killing. I was going, fuck, how good am I going? Like, run this business, ABC. And it sort of just got my mind thinking. I was like, even though I'm running a clothing company, it's cool and all this sort of shit. Like, am I actually making an impact? And a sort of a question I wrestled with myself a lot of the time, and just started to, like, just obviously through media and that, just kind of got over it. But there's also been a backlash of it as well, because when you see the word media, people think gossip. So they're like, oh, why aren't you reporting on this? Or like, we're not reporters. We don't want to report on stuff, we just want to tell stories in a different way. And there's still been a backlash from it, and I've had people turn off YKTR, not stop buying from YKTR because of it. A few guys are getting really personal with me because they've got a difference of opinion. So it's been a real interesting transition. Where it goes forward, I don't know, because obviously there's no sports on at the moment. It hasn't made any money. We've kind of just been doing it for fun as well, just as a side hobby. So it's been a different narrative to be the guy that, like, people loved, and you're the guy that's selling clothes, and then you're trying to tell all these different stories, but it's different what they heard in the media. So we must be lying to, like, I used to respect you as an entrepreneur and support your brand. Now you're doing this. And yeah, it's been interesting, but I've kind of really enjoyed it at the same time as well.
Yeah, I mean, from me personally, I see it, like, I love Deenan's podcast when he's given, you know, a bit more of an insight into the players, and then, you know, yours as well in that space, because I think, you know, I follow a lot of the NBA. I follow a lot of the NBA players or ex-players podcasts and stuff like this, where they're actually, like, talking to the player.
How good is it? Yeah, how good is that? Yeah.
And you're like, I freaking love this. Like, the next thing I want, man, is I want you or someone else to start doing 30 for 30 type docos of Australian and New Zealand sports. Like,
yeah, that was like the sort of big dream and big picture. And we're obviously going to start with vlogs first. Like, we've got a few vlog ideas. Even just boys going out and having, like, eating.
Yeah.
Like, bro, hey, Adam Reynolds, bro, where do we go on a cheat day? Like, and then it's go to this dingy.
Like, carpool karaoke and comedians in cars and that sort of stuff. Like, they go off for a reason, is because, you actually get to see the not the buffed league player giving the game of two halves, real 110%, all credit to everyone. We'll go back to the drawing board stuff. You actually go, oh, that guy seems like an idiot. And then they actually get on to a platform and it's like, oh man, they're actually a human being, which a lot of people forget.
Oh, that's the biggest thing, because they see, because we put sports players on a pedestal as well. So when we see them on our TV, we think these are fucking mystical type beings and they're ungrateful and they're overpaid and all this sort of stuff. But we got to realize is they're just normal people, just like everyone else. And a lot of the times, like my friends that I've grown up with and they knock about my footy players now, they're like, oh, fuck, he's just normal. And like, that's what a lot of people don't realize, that everyone's just normal. But I say this a lot, like, if you want to hang around football players, don't talk football. That's like number one rule. So, and being a football player in the past and hanging around them and having some of the biggest names in the game as like my close friends, like the amount of football that we actually talk compared to other things is probably about 90-10, like 10% of football, 9% other out. That's everything else other people talk about, horse racing, like having a beer or what are you watching on Netflix, or like sports cards is a big one right now. We've got a crew of only NRL players and All Black players. We call it Card Gang. We've got one other guy in there, and there's about 10 of us in there, like Kalen Ponga, Connor Watson, Andrew Fifita, Hardy Sarvia, Aaron Smith, some of the biggest names in sports right now. All we do is talk sports cards. Like, oh, what are you trying to collect? And like, you feel like a little kid again. You got to realize that people are just normal people. So, and I just want to show that side of players, because I'm sick of them getting bagged for, like, I don't know, just for doing shit that anyone else would be doing at 21 and 22. And having a beer or pissing on the street, like, who gives a fuck?
Come meet the
person.
Yeah, and that's what I love, and that's what I think everyone listening to this should take away from this is, you think you can tell from it, it's just an authentic conversation that we're having, and I'm sure a lot of you enjoyed it. But when you're going out there and putting your content on YouTube, on Instagram, on whatever to start building your personal brand, try and be the person. If you're speaking on stage, you're the same person when you're off stage. You're the same person when you go home, and like, you know, Gary Vee. Yeah, he's an example I'd say most people listening to this podcast know. And if you meet him in the street, he's not the dude going, yeah, I've heard stories about other guys like Kiyosaki and stuff, like, you know, back of the room, they won't talk to you unless, you know, it's not like you haven't paid him 10 grand. He's not going to say hello to you. He's going to tell you to piss off, and, you know, so, stuff like that.
And you know what? Like, a lot of people have sort of come up to me, like, when I've been out on that, like, oh, fuck, you're exactly the same as on Instagram, which is, like, true. But then you'll see a lot of people that, like, have spent time with me over maybe a couple of days that have come stay. They're like, oh, bro, you're completely different. Like, it looks like you're always on the go all the time. But when I get home, I'm just like, I'm fucked. Mm. Like, I really enjoy my own space as well. And people got to realize, like, a lot of my content comes from me just being on my own. Like, it looks like I'm out there and outgoing, and I can be when I want to be, but I also, like, just been on my own as well. So just got to realize that there's a balance there somewhere.
Yeah, cool. And finally, just give us a bit of a breakdown. What's your number one tip, obviously, apart from the authenticity, to getting lots of content out? If you're that, like, solopreneur, or you're that speaker out there, what would you say, like, the best way to, you know, start building that personal brand?
Find what your medium is. So are you a writer? Are you comfortable in front of a camera? Are you better speaking to someone as well? So find out what your medium is and just try and make, so Gary Vee's got that content pillar strategy. I find podcasts the best because, one, you can video them, two, you can record them, and then three, you can turn them into written stuff as well. So I feel like podcasts are the way forward. That's why I've been super aggressive and trying to be it. I openly say I want to be the best podcaster in Australia. When people come to Australia, I want them to jump on my podcast. Because the amount of content that you can strip from that is huge. So this podcast right here, I might have said 10 things that can be turned into quote cards on Instagram. This could be turned into 6 1-minute clips as well. If we're recording, I could turn these into videos. Then, of course, you've got the long form content that you can put on Spotify, that you can put on podcasts, that you can put on YouTube. So I gravitate towards content that's moving forward. I feel like vlogging, like, our views don't get nowhere near as much, but I still enjoy making vlogs because I always love looking back when, like, a year ago, like, where was a year ago? So documenting the journey is always important from that sort of standpoint. But understanding where you speak where your brand or your personal brand's voice is best documented. So I enjoy writing as well. So I can cover across all three bases, which I'm pretty lucky to do and I'm confident in doing, and don't care if I can fuck up as well. So I think that's a big part of it as well. I see a lot of people starting to vlog and, like, they're not they look awkward in front of a camera, or they start a podcast and they can't really speak, or their tone of voice is kind of weird. So find what suits you and just roll with that.
Or do 100 podcasts and get better at it. Do 100 podcasts real quick. So I appreciate you jumping on, man. It was real last minute, and I'm sure there's a ton of knowledge that we can strip into 1 minute videos and repurpose into wave audios and have them all over the net. But if people want to follow you, find out a bit more about either you, your clothes, or you know what you're doing on social, where can they go? What can they do?
Hit me up on Instagram at IICE_. I've had that Instagram name for ages, probably not the best one, but that's where you can find me. YKTR_, you can find us on Instagram as well. You can find me on YouTube, The Ice Project, YKTR on YouTube, but probably podcasting, The Ice Project, and you can find me on Spotify and iTunes. Yeah, so a bit going on there.
Well, we'll link all of that in the show notes at publicspeakingblueprint.com. Man, it's been a pleasure. I enjoy jumping on, and I hope everything with this coronavirus doesn't affect you too much, but we'll see you on the other side.
Definitely. Anyway. Definitely will affect us. To what extent, who knows? So we'll be all there on camera anyway.
Cheers, man.
All right, bro. See you later.
If you want to fast track your confidence and impact with public speaking, then be sure to jump over to publicspeakingblueprint.com, where there's an array of free resources to help you no matter where you are on your journey to becoming a more powerful speaker. And while you're at it, jump over to Facebook and join our free community called Speaker Nation, where there's a ton of other like-minded individuals just like yourself looking to level up. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode.